Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala khatamin nebiyyin amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Excellence avoiding useless speech. Dua of Attar. O Lord of Mustafa, whoever reads or listens to excellence avoiding useless speech, safeguard him from useless activities, make him pious and grant him the honour of performing Hajj and seeing Medina again and again. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Reciting salat in abundance proved to be beneficial. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi said, I saw a deceased neighbour of mine in a dream and asked, Ma fa'alallahu bika? How did Allah Almighty treat you? He replied, I was afflicted with severe hardships. I was not even able to answer the questions of Munkar Nakir. I thought that perhaps I had not died as a believer, when suddenly a voice was heard. This punishment is being given to you because of the unnecessary use of tongue in the world. Then the angels of punishment came towards me. Meanwhile, a beautiful and excellently fragrant person became a fence between me and the punishment, and he reminded me of the answers to the questions of Munkar Nakir. And I gave the answers in the same manner. By the grace of Allah Almighty, the punishment was removed from me. I humbly said to that saintly man, May Allah Almighty have mercy on you. Who are you? He replied, I have been created by virtue of your recitation of salat in abundance, and I have been assigned to help you at the time of every hardship. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, nowadays in our society, unfortunately, those who remain silent are rarely found. The tongues of some keep running throughout the day. Only at the time of sleeping their tongues would get some rest, and some start talking even in their sleep. The one who speaks excessively oftentimes may even end up lying, backbiting, tale-telling, revealing secrets, hurting feelings and losing his dignity because of always interrupting people in the middle of their conversations. Oftentimes it might also happen that he would regret after speaking. Then others are also bored by the constant chattering of a talkative person. People get fed up with him and try to get rid of him. In short, there are countless harms of speaking too much. That is exactly why someone has said that there are 9 benefits in not speaking. Because a silent person remains safe from many calamities. May Allah Almighty safeguard all of us from talking unnecessarily and protect us from the calamities of the tongue. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Allah Almighty dislikes useless conversations. Allah Almighty dislikes useless conversations. He has said regarding useless conversations in the Holy Quran, Part 18, Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 3. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who refrain from futile activities. Commentary of the Blessed Verse. In this Blessed Verse, the second trait of the successful believers has been stated that they remain away from every vain and false thing. In this Blessed Verse, love is mentioned. In this regard, it is stated in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, Volume 6, on pages 499-501, that Allama Ahmad Sawi rahmatullahi alayhi said, love refers to every such statement, action, and disliked or mubah thing that has no benefit to a Muslim in the religion or the world. For example, wasting time in joking around, useless conversations, play and merriment and vain activities, remaining engaged only in fulfilling desires and all the other actions that Allah Almighty has forbidden. The summary is that a Muslim should remain engaged in performing good deeds for the betterment of his hereafter, or he should remain engaged in striving for earning halal wealth as per need in order to lead his life. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Motivation to avoid useless things. Motivation has been given to avoid meaningless and futile activities in a hadith too. Hence, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, from the perfection of a person's Islam is that he would quit a meaningless thing. It means he should not indulge in the things that are not useful. He should not focus his tongue, heart, and other body parts towards a useless thing. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. What is salvation? Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu has said, I visited the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and humbly asked, what is salvation? He replied, control your tongue and your house should be enough for you. I do not go here and there unnecessarily and shed tears for your mistake. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The necessity to safeguard the tongue and its benefits and harms. Bear in mind that safeguarding the tongue, keeping it in check and keeping it away from useless and vain talks are immensely necessary, because the majority of insolence and the most disturbance and harm are caused by the same tongue. And the person who lets his tongue roam free, unchecked, and lets it loose, Satan makes him fall into destruction. One benefit of safeguarding the tongue is also that good deeds are protected by it, because the person who does not safeguard the tongue, or rather he remains engaged in talking at all times, is not able to refrain from backbiting against people. Similarly, there is a huge risk of uttering words of disbelief as well. And both of these actions are such because of which a person's good deeds are wasted. The Tray of Dates Parable. Someone said to Sayyidina Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, so and so has committed backbiting against you. Hearing this, he filled a tray with dates and sent it to the person who had backbitten against him. In addition, he sent this message, I have heard that you have gifted me your virtues, so I consider it appropriate to give a return for them. That is why here is a tray of dates, lest people break your teeth. And the second benefit is that, by safeguarding the tongue, a person remains safe from the calamities of the world. Hence, Sayyiduna Sufyan Sauri rahmatullahi alayhi has said, do not let slip such a thing from the tongue, after hearing which people would break your teeth. And another saintly man rahmatullahi alayhi has said, do not let your tongue be free, so that it does not cause you to suffer from any disturbance. Unique punishment for one useless question. Parable. Moreover, one harm of not safeguarding the tongue is that the person gets engaged in impermissible, haram, vain and useless talks, indulges in sins and wastes the most precious asset of his life, i.e. time. It is narrated regarding Sayyiduna Hassan ibn Sinan rahmatullahi alayhi, that he passed by a room on the roof of a house, i.e. an attic. So he asked its owner, how long has it been since you built this attic? After asking this question, he felt extreme embarrassment and he said the following whilst addressing his nafs. O arrogant nafs, you waste the most precious time in useless and meaningless questions. Then, as expiation for that useless question, he fasted for a year. No one can bear the punishment of hell. And the second harm is that, because of impermissible and haram conversations, a person may be inflicted with the agonizing punishment of hell on the Day of Judgment, which no one has the capability to endure. Therefore, safety lies in the same that a person should safeguard his tongue and use it for those things that would benefit him in the world and the hereafter. May Allah Almighty enable all the Muslims to safeguard their tongues and keep it in check. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Heavy actions. Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radiyallahu anhu has stated that the beloved messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to me, "Shall I not tell you such action that is light on the body and heavy on the scale?" I humbly replied, "Sure." He said, "It is silence, good manners, and quitting non-beneficial conversations." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. What is the beauty of a person? Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to his honorable uncle Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu anhu, "Your beauty has made me wonder." Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu anhu humbly said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what is the beauty of a person?" He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, "His tongue." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Advice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The chief of the youths of paradise, the companion, the son of a companion, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhu has stated that amongst the pieces of advice I heard from my grandfather, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, giving to the blessed companions radiyallahu anhum, one is as follows. Glad tidings are for the one who remained away from useless speech. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Supplication of Mustafa. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik has stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said this point three times. May Allah Almighty have mercy on that person who attains benefit, i.e. reward, when he speaks and remains safe when he is silent. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A sign that Allah Almighty's glance of mercy has turned away. Sayyiduna Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, "A person's indulging in non-beneficial activities is a sign of the fact that Allah Almighty has turned away his glance of mercy from him. The one who talks vainly has the most sins." The companion, the son of a companion, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu anhuma has stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "On the Day of Judgment, the one who will have the most sins amongst all people will be the one who would speak uselessly the most." Explanation of the hadith. It is because the one who talks too much, in that talk there will be more useless things as well as those that are contradictory to Sharia. So because of the things contradictory to Sharia, his sins will increase and he will not even realize it. The blessed mention of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu anhuma. Let's listen to the blessed biography of the companion of the Prophet who stated this narration. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu anhuma, his name is Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa and kunya is Abu Muawiyah. Supplication for the payer of zakah. The companion, the son of a companion, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu anhuma has stated, my father Abu Awfa radiyallahu anhu visited the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam carrying zakat. So he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam blessed him with his supplication. Allahumma salli ala ali Abi Awfa. I, O Allah, send down mercy upon the family of Abu Awfa. Sayyiduna Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi has written in the explanation of this blessed hadith, Sayyiduna Abdullah radiyallahu anhu is proudly paying gratitude to the Lord that we and our honorable father have been blessed with the supplications of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Some said that the word al here is extra, but the truth is that al is in its actual meaning. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam does not pray for these people only, but also for their offspring and all family members. The meeting of Imam Abu Hanifa with a companion of the Prophet. It is stated in Mirat, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu anhuma is the last companion to pass away in Kufa in 87 Hijri. He is amongst those companions whom Sayyiduna Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi met, because at the time of his demise, Imam Al-Azm was 7 years and according to some, 17 years old. May Allah Almighty have mercy on him and forgive us without accountability by his virtue. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. What is useless speech? Dear Islamic brothers, Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has said in Ihya al-Ulum, if his, i.e. the speaker's, objective may be achieved with one word and he uses two words, then the second word is useless, i.e. more than needed. If one word does not suffice, then in this case, two or however many words are spoken according to need are not useless. The things that contain harm, accountability and punishment, avoiding them is even the requirement of every human's intellect. But those things that neither bring a benefit nor a harm are also harmful things in truth. Because the time he spent whilst uttering them, zikr and salat could also have been recited for that long. He could have recited the Quran. If missing these benefits is not a loss, then what is it? Then, when useless talks start, oftentimes they progress and reach the extent of criticizing and backbiting against people. That is why safety lies in the same that one should either remain silent or perform the dhikr of Allah Almighty. And he should speak about the worldly things that are related with permissible matters, very little according to need. The abundance of even permissible talks about the world hardens the heart. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. If silence is empty of the contemplation of the hereafter, then it is heedlessness. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam has said, the conversation that is empty of the remembrance of Allah Almighty is lull, i.e. useless. And the silence that is empty of the contemplation of the hereafter is heedlessness. And the gaze that is empty of admonition is useless and pointless. That person is blessed whose conversation contains the remembrance of Allah Almighty, whose silence contains contemplation, and whose gaze contains admonition. What is heedlessness? O devotees of Rasul, this saying of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam also includes the following: the silence that is empty of the contemplation of the hereafter is heedlessness. Let's learn what heedlessness is. It is stated in At-Tarifat, Al-Ghaflatu Mutaba'atun Nafsi ala ma tashtahi, i.e. heedlessness refers to keeping the nafs engaged in chasing after desires. In the condemnation of the heedless, Allah Almighty has said in the Holy Quran, Part 9, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 205. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَدَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And remember your Lord within your heart submissively and with fear and a low tone of voice morning and evening, and do not be amongst the heedless. I fear heedlessness upon you. The following has also been stated in a blessed hadith of Sahih Bukhari. By Allah Almighty, I do not fear poverty upon you, but I do fear that the world will be extended upon you as it was extended upon the nations before you. Thus, for the sake of this world, you will also compete with each other like the people before, and this will get you into heedlessness just like it made the previous nations heedless. I am instead weeping over missing prayers. It is stated in Mukashfatul Qulub that Sayyiduna Shaykh Abu Ali Daqqaq rahmatullahi alayhi has said, a very prominent saintly man rahmatullahi alayhi was severely ill. I went to inquire after his health. A crowd of devotees surrounded him. That saintly man, rahmatullahi alayhi, was weeping. I humbly said, O Shaykh, are you weeping that you are departing the world? He replied, no, rather I am crying because of missing prayers. I asked, Your Honor, how have your prayers been missed? He said, whenever I prostrated, it was with heedlessness. And when I raised my head from the prostration, it was with heedlessness. And now it is with heedlessness that I am meeting death. Then he let out a painfully cold sigh and recited four Arabic couplets whose translation is as follows. Number one, I pondered over my resurrection, the day of judgment, and my cheek lying in the grave. Number two, even after such respect and exaltation that I reaped, I will be lying alone and I will be pawned because of my offense, and soil alone will be my pillow. Number three, I thought about the great length of my accountability and humiliation at the time of being given the book of deeds. Number four, but O my creator and sustainer, I hope for mercy from you. You alone are the forgiver of my offences. Will enter hell whilst weeping. Dear Islamic brothers, such a lesson-giving parable it is. Just look at these pious bondsmen of Allah Almighty, whose every moment is spent in the remembrance of Allah Almighty, yet the state of their humility is such that they completely disregard their worships and spiritual exercises and weep whilst fearing Allah Almighty's absolute independence and His secret plan. How miserable the condition of those heedless people is who do not know the first thing about a good deed, and no trace of sincerity is found in them. Yet their state is that they never get tired of making big claims about their worships. Despite being protected from sins, Allah Almighty's pious bondsmen tremble, shiver, and continuously weep out of Allah's fear. But the condition of those indulged in heedlessness is that they continue their disobedience without hesitation, publicly announce their sins, and then are not ashamed one bit about making gales of laughter about it. listen attentively. It is stated in Mukashfatul Qulub, Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma has said, the one who commits a sin whilst laughing will enter hell whilst weeping. A saintly man gave glad tidings in a dream. O devotees of Rasul, in order to wake up from the sleep of heedlessness, get rid of the habit of sins and increase the passion of acting upon sunan, travel with the Madini Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami to learn and impart sunan. For your motivation, a faith-enhancing Madini marvel is presented. Hence, an Islamic brother from Vihari, Punjab, was indulged in various kinds of sins before entering the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Although he was physically healthy, he was quite weak in terms of worship. As he got closer and closer to his youth, he kept getting further and further away from good deeds. He started spending his life in sins. His time kept being wasted in songs and music, movies and dramas, lying, backbiting and various other sins. And not just that, he also had a shop that provided downloading services through which, obviously, he himself committed sins, but furthermore, he downloaded movies, dramas, songs and music in on other people's phones and shared their sin. And he also charged money for it. His life was immersed in the darkness of sins. So much so that he started considering himself the worst person in the world. However, ever since his childhood, he had loved Dawat-e-Islami, because of which he somehow managed to contact the Islamic Brothers and became the traveller of a three-day Madini Qafila. He got to learn a lot during the Madini Qafila, due to which his love for Dawat-e-Islami increased. One day, when he was worried because of the circumstances of his house, and when he went to sleep in the same state of distress, he saw in his dream that a saintly man was saying to him, come to Fizan-e-Madina, Karachi, with your younger brother. Insha'Allah, everything will be alright. He woke up as soon as he heard this. Then he related this dream to his family members and sought permission to go to Fizan-e-Madina, Karachi, with his younger brother, to which his family members agreed. After arriving in Fizan-e-Madina, Karachi, both of them observed itikaf of the whole month of Ramadan. By the grace of Allah Almighty and by the virtue of itikaf, he repented of all his sinful activities, and in addition to gracing his head with the imamah, he also joined the list of the disciples of Sayyiduna Ghaus al-Azam, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. O devotees of awliya, repenting in youth and getting engaged in the obedience to Allah Almighty are huge blessings. The following statement of the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam contains great glad tidings. The person who repents in youth is beloved to Allah Almighty. The one who spends his youth in worship will attain the shade of Arsh on the Day of Judgment. Moreover, the Honourable Sufiya have said that the worship of youth is superior to the worship of old age, for the actual time of worship is youth. May Allah Almighty keep us obedient to Him till our last breath and grant us sincerity and pleasure in worship. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Two types of speaking and remaining silent. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, imla'u al-khayri khayrun min as-sukuti was-sukutu khayrun. I speaking good is better than silence, and remaining silent is better than uttering something evil. Sayyiduna Ali Ibn Usman Hajveri Hanafi, better known as Data Ganj Bakhsh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, has said in Kashf Al-Mahjub, there are two types of speaking, One is speaking something good and the second is wrong and useless speech. Similarly, there are two types of silence as well. Number one, purposeful silence, a remaining silent to contemplate the hereafter or think about the rulings of Sharia. Number two, heedless silence, or Allah forbid, filled with filthy imaginations or useless thoughts of the world. Everyone should ponder well in the state of silence that if his speaking is good, so now his speaking is better than his silence. And if his speaking is wrong or useless, then on such an occasion, his silence is better than his speaking. In order to advise regarding the speech being right or wrong, Sayyiduna Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajveri Rahmatullahi Alayhi has stated a parable and said, once, while passing through a locality of Baghdad, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi heard a person who was saying, As-sakutu khayrun min al-kalami, I silence is better than speaking. He Rahmatullahi Alayhi said to him, since silence is not good in every case, therefore your remaining silent is better than your speaking, and my speaking is better than silence. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Satan dominates the one who does not safeguard the tongue. Satan dominates those who keep on babbling, because when a person is too talkative, the possibility of mistakes increases. And it is possible that Satan might succeed in getting him to commit a sin. However, the one who has a habit of remaining silent achieves victory against Satan. Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu has narrated that a man humbly said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, give me some advice. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, hold fast unto the fear of Allah Almighty, for it is the root of all goodness. And hold fast unto fighting in the path of Allah, for this is the seclusion of the followers of Islam. And regularly perform the dhikr of Allah and recite the Holy Quran, for this will be light for you on earth and a cause of you being mentioned in heavens. And apart from a word of goodness, guard your tongue, for by virtue of it, you will dominate Satan. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The biggest weapon of Satan. Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has said in Ihya'ul Ulum, the tongue is the biggest weapon of Satan in leading a human astray. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Siddiq-e-Akbar would put a stone in his mouth. The first caliph of the Muslims, the unparalleled devotee, Sayyiduna Siddiq-e-Akbar radiyallahu anhu, used to be quite cautious in the matter of the tongue, despite definitively being destined for paradise. It is stated in Ihya al-Ulum, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu would place a stone in his blessed mouth so that there would be no chance of talking. Exercise of silence for 40 years. Parable. Dear Islamic brothers, if you really wish to develop the habit of silence, then you will have to take it seriously and you will have to do hard exercises of remaining silent. Otherwise, it is difficult to develop the habit of silence with very little effort. Warn yourself against the destructiveness of the unnecessary use of the tongue and try your best to develop the habit of silence. Insha'Allah, success itself will be in your feet. Let's listen to a parable of the steadfastness of a striving person. Sayyiduna Arta ibn Munzir rahmatullahi alayhi said, a person practiced being silent for 40 years in this manner that he would place a stone in his mouth. so much so that other than salah or invocations or eating or drinking or sleeping, he would not take the stone out of the mouth. A tabi, saintly man, who wrote down conversations and assessed them, a tabi'i, saintly man, Sayyiduna Rabi ibn Khuthaym rahmatullahi alayh, did not utter a single worldly thing for 20 years. When morning broke, he would take a pen, an inkpot and paper, and he would write whatever he spoke throughout the day and conduct self-accountability in the evening, i.e. according to what he had written, he would assess his conversations. How to assess the conversation? The method of assessing your conversation is that one should ponder over every statement of his and interrogate himself. For example, he should ask himself in the heart without moving the tongue, why did you say so and so thing? What was the need to speak at that place? So and so conversation could have been wrapped up in such and such number of words as well. But why did you utter so and so additional words in it? While speaking to so and so, why did you utter what, sorry, what did you say, etc., and make the other person go through the inconvenience of repeating his sentence? The sentence that you uttered to so and so was a heartbreaking taunt. You unjustly hurt his feelings. Come on, now repent as well as apologizing to that Islamic brother. Why did you go to so and so gathering when you know that useless conversations also take place there? And why did you agree with so and so's statement? You also had to listen to backbiting there. In fact, you even took interest in listening to the backbiting. Come on, make firm repentance and the resolve to keep away from such gatherings. In this manner, a wise person can assess his conversations, rather all his day-to-day affairs. Thus, sins, carelessness, and some of one's weaknesses and flaws may be brought to light, and the cause of reform may be attained. In the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, this assessment is called Jaiza. And in the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, motivation is given to reflect on one's actions every day for at least 12 minutes and to fill the booklet of pious deeds during that time. Assessment of actions. All the devotees of Rasul should assess the actions of their entire day daily for at least 12 minutes and check the boxes given in the booklet of Dawat-e-Islami's Maktabatul Madina, Pious Deeds. And on the first of every month, they should submit it to their local representative of Dawat-e-Islami's Reformation of Actions Department. Insha'Allah, an abundant treasure of polite manners and piety will be attained, and they will develop immense love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.